Real World Radio has the pleasure of being in touch with Anne-Catherine Schneider. She is a climate campaigner of Bund, Friends of the Earth Germany, and she's now in Bonn, Germany, following the negotiations of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. And we are really happy to be in contact with you again, Anne-Catherine. Very, very welcome to Real World Radio.
It's my pleasure.
So, Anne-Catherine, we are in the last days, today, Thursday, and tomorrow on Friday, of the multilateral negotiations in the framework of the United Nations on climate change before we have the Conference of the Parties in Paris at the end of the year in December. What can you tell us about these days of negotiations, which started on Monday there in Bonn, Anne-Catherine?
So what is really interesting, and I think this has never happened before, is that this time, like the NGOs, like Friends of the Earth, but also all the other NGOs, are not allowed to observe the negotiations. So all the negotiations happen behind closed doors. That means that we know very little what's actually happening inside of the negotiations. And we fear that there's a tone of secrecy and intransparency around these negotiations. So civil society actually has less and less possibilities to influence the negotiations, but also even to just get information about what's actually going on at these negotiations. So every evening here in Bonn, every evening at 6 o'clock, the negotiators meet in the big plenary room, and then they have an open stock-taking session that's open to media, that's open to observers, where everybody can come and where they inform us about the progress they've made so far. And this is the only information we can get here inside from the negotiations. And the information we are getting is that, like, the discussions are proceeding but not quick enough. So there's still a lot of issues that are not decided upon, even though the goal of the negotiations this week was to produce a text that's ready for the ministers, so that now between Bonn and Paris, the ministers in the capitals of the world would be able to look at the text and to decide whether they have any major changes or whether they agree to the text. So it looks like as if this text at the moment, and we are one day before the final day of the conference in Paris, the text is not ready. So one option is, of course, to have a longer session here in Bonn to discuss here, maybe until Saturday or even Sunday, until the text is ready. Or maybe another meeting has to be organized before Paris when we get a final text. At the moment, one day before the final day of the Bonn conference, we don't know whether this conference will agree to a good text.
And Catherine, I'm going to try to go deeper in a few minutes in the issue about the information that you have been receiving in these 6 p.m. meetings with the negotiators at the end of every day. But the first thing that you said, it called me, it's very impressive for me, and Catherine, because it's true that social organizations and social movements, and of course Friends of the Earth International have been denouncing in the last years that the spaces in the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change have been in the last years going more and more secret, more and more close, and about the participation of different actors which should have nothing to do with the negotiations. But this is the first time, as you said, that the negotiations are absolutely closed. What was told about the presidency of these negotiations, about the UN, from the UN? What have been the explanations to say why they are negotiating with this kind of secrecy and with no possibilities for the social organizations, for the civil society to participate and at least see what is happening there? What they say?
So they say that because so little progress has been made on the actual text for Paris, on the Paris Agreement, that they wanted to discuss in a more open manner and in order to proceed more quickly. I think what many country's parties and maybe also the co-chairs of the negotiations felt was that if the observers, if the civil society organizations, if the movements can hear, then there's much more time is needed for the negotiations because they can, the country cannot be as frank as they want to be frank if there's observers in the room. So they say it's speedier, it's more efficient if they can negotiate behind closed doors. But now it's already Thursday, we only have one day left, and the text is not ready yet. So we don't think this has happened any faster. We think it's actually not our fault that the negotiations are slow. It's the fault of the negotiators and the countries that the negotiations are so slow and not the fault of the observers.
Okay, it's really impressive for me. I'm a bit surprised, and it's a new information really. So thank you very much about that, Anne-Catherine. Talking about what you have been hearing in those meetings with the negotiators at the end of every day, or even if you have had some kind of access to some government representatives, which I know that Friends of the Earth have some. Governments which are at some point closer to the social movements and the social organizations. What kind of information have you been able, as Friends of the Earth Europe, as Friends of the Earth International, or in your case, in representation of Boon, Friends of the Earth Germany, what have you been able to know about the specific points which are on the table in the negotiations?
Okay, so there's one very specific point that of course of interest to the African countries, to the least developed countries, to the poorer countries, and that's the issue of loss and damage, so that climate-induced losses and damages. That's an issue that many richer countries agree that loss and damage has to find some reference in the new Paris Agreement and the text, but they want to have only a very, preliminary, very rough reference, very broad reference without any details on loss and damage. And of course, for many African countries and developing countries, it's very important that, like, the Paris Agreement establishes a mechanism on loss and damage so that countries and societies and people that are climate-induced losses and damages, that they get money and support from the international community, and that issue has a very firm place in the agreement. So that is one issue that is hotly debated here in Bonn, and that's a very key issue for developing countries and movements. The other issue is also finance, like the question of how will the finance, the new and additional money for countries that need to finance adaptation, for example, and other climate-related issues, that climate finance, where will it come from, how much money will the countries give, the different countries give, and all these questions. These questions are not dealt with. They are dealt with here, they are debated, but there's no conclusion here yet. And so again, it's this the usual differences of opinion to these questions. The industrialized countries have one idea and the developing countries have a totally different idea. So that is conflicts around loss and damage, conflicts around finance are here, but also conflicts around the review mechanism and whether there should be any yearly or 5-yearly review on the national climate plan and what kind of review that should be. And there's also discussion on the 1.5-degree or 2-degree limit, like what is the degree limit that should be a part of the new Paris Agreement.
Okay, and Catherine, what about the greenhouse gas emissions reductions which are needed, the national determined contributions? Friends of the Earth International warned at the beginning of the talks on Monday that the cuts needed were not reached at all, especially by industrialized countries. What have you been able to know about that?
So the question of equity will obviously find a place also in the new agreement in the preamble of the agreement, equity will be mentioned, but then concept of fair share, for example, are not at all part of the agreement. So I think it's very important what Friends of the Earth and together with WWF, Action Aid, and many other movements did, that we brought this to table and said, well, that the, you know, the carbon budget that is left needs to be divided on an equitable basis, and how do the INDCs and the national climate plans that we have, are they fair, are they not fair? So this is a discussion that's definitely happened here in Bonn, and we don't have an answer yet, but we can see that for some developed countries, and maybe most developed countries, the idea of operationalizing equity and saying yes, everybody had to do their fair share, not more, not less, is an issue that many refuse.
Okay, and Catherine, I would like to ask you also about the issue of adaptation, because Friends of the Earth International has also been saying several times that it's not only about emissions reductions and mitigation, which is of course crucially needed, but at the same time, the developing countries need to take care of what they are already suffering in terms of climate change. So the issue of adaptation is very important, and related to that, the issue of what is going to happen between 2015 and 2020. This most of the negotiations are focused on the period post 2020. So what would be happening in the middle, because in this gap, because the consequences of climate change are already being suffered. So what could you tell us about that, Catherine?
Okay, so definitely this is not an issue that's left out of the negotiations. It is being discussed here in Bonn. It is called the Work Stream 2. So the, what do we need to do before 2020, before we have the new Paris Agreement? But as far as I can see, there's lots of different ideas being put on the table for this period between now and 2020 for the next 5 years. But to me, it's not really clear exactly like how much money will be put on the table for adaptation, who will be putting the money on the table, and also in terms of mitigation, how much mitigation will different countries to do. So one idea now would be that those countries, but there's certainly some countries here in the negotiations that say, well, a lot needs to happen before 2020, but it seems that it's like a mix of a lot of different ideas, but no concrete commitment from countries what to do between now and 2020, both in terms of mitigation as well as in terms of adaptation. Like lots of ideas, but unclarity on the how firm these ideas will be introduced in the Paris package.
Okay, and Catherine, what about the Green Climate Fund? Did any kind of advancement, development happen in that sense?
No, the Green Climate Fund, there's no financial commitment for the Green Climate Fund being made here. But also, I think like Bonn is not the forum where the Green Climate Fund is, where people put money or countries put money on the table for the Green Climate Fund. But it seems that it's just not a big issue at the negotiations here, because here it's really more about the nature, the architecture, and the content of the new agreement.
Okay, and Catherine, just to finish, what about mobilizations, demonstrations, actions? Have been the social organizations, the civil society, been able to do something in the streets or even inside the UN compound in these days?
Yes, and so it's very interesting to see that many social movements, many organizations, many developmental and environmental organizations are here, have organized actions against coal-fired power plants, for example, against the financing coal-fired power plants by Japan, for example. And so there is a lot of action and mobilization, and small little actions happening that the media like to report upon, and that just show how the climate movement is getting stronger and stronger. And also, I think in terms of Paris, what we see here in Europe is that not only in France, but in all over Europe now, the movement against fossil fuels is getting stronger and stronger. That for many of us, the climate negotiation is just a moment that we will take on, where we can, and that moment, go into the streets and show our leaders that we already have the answers and the alternatives. Like, community energy is all over the place, is very, very successful all over Europe. So we are going to Paris and showing that community energy and phase out of fossil fuels is something we are fighting for, we are implementing. And it's also a bit regardless of the what the leaders will be deciding upon and what the heads of state will be deciding upon in Paris. We will have the first word in Paris, because we will be in the streets of Paris, tens of thousands of us, and will ask for a fossil fuel phase out now. And also at the end of the conference, again, we will all be in the streets, tens of thousands from the social movements of all over the world, we will be saying an end to fossil fuels now. So I think our voice is getting stronger and stronger, and the voice of the negotiators and the voice of the heads of state is maybe quite weak compared to our voice.
And Catherine, it's good that you said that and you mentioned Paris, because I was forgetting to ask you, because we know that there is a big civil society alliance in Paris preparing, especially mobilizations for all these days of the negotiations, with a very deep back and support of different social organizations from all over Europe, which are backing this French coalition organizing the activities for Paris, and for example the People Power Action. What can you tell us from the Bund's perspective and from the Friends of the Earth perspective about the actions and the mobilizations? What can we know nowadays, Anne-Catherine, which is going to happen at the end of the year in Paris regarding to the people's power and the people's movements?
So what we see happening all over Europe, but especially in France, all over France, there's conferences now organized by social movements on the issue of climate change. And we've never had that before in France, and we haven't had that at such a degree also in Germany. Like in Germany, we have large fights against nuclear, we have fights against coal-fired power plants, we have fights against coal mines, and these fights have been getting stronger and stronger over the year. Also, like big fights against fracking in the UK, in Scotland, in the Netherlands, as well as in Germany. So all over Europe, there are different social movements together with trade unions, sometimes together with church-based organizations, fighting the fossil fuels, but also supporting community renewable energy. And all these groups will come to Paris. Like we from Berlin, we get asked, like Bund will get so many telephone calls every week about from supporters, from our supporters, from individuals from all over Germany who say we want to do something against climate change. We want to march in the streets of Paris. So I think Friends of the Earth Europe, and at the center, of course, Les Amis de la Terre, so the French organization of Friends of the Earth, they're at the center of the mobilizations, and they will bring, we all will bring tens of thousands of people in Paris. And I think what's already now in the run-up to Paris, we see how inspiring it is for many people that we as Friends of the Earth have such a strong message and call for an end to fossil fuels, and that we will not listen to what the leaders tell us, that it will need a long time for the transformation or something, that we are really talking about the planetary emergency, that we do something against it. And so I think we see the growing of the climate movement now here in Europe and the strengthening of the climate movement. So I have high hopes that also around Paris, our voices will be heard, and that the population at large in Europe will support the movement in our call for more climate justice.
Okay, and Katrine, before we end the interview, would you like to add something that maybe I didn't ask you and you think it's important to strengthen before the end of the talk?
No, thank you. I think you had very, very good questions, so you covered everything that I wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah, it was a long talk and I really appreciate that. So it was Anne-Catherine Schneider. She's from Boon, Friends of the Earth, Germany. Anne-Catherine, thank you very much. You have been really very nice.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you in Paris. Good luck.